Bo Hess.
And now, the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. I just want to talk about the Patriots, how they're too cocky right now. And let's not forget about those Jets when they came through with Rex Ryan and Sanchez, when they came through and blew the doors off those picks. Couldn't believe it. Oh, my goodness.
Brandon, how do you know the Patriots are cocky? We're cocky. How do you know the team's cocky?
I mean, they underestimate so much people. I mean, they under-talk, but we all know that they're cocky and they think they can win every game. But believe me, you can't underestimate your opponent. When Tennessee comes in and you guys think you have it wrapped in a bag, you guys will lose. And just like how...
Okay, well, I'm going to stop you. I mean, we're doing that. I'm doing that. I think the Patriots do a better job of not doing that internally than any team I've ever seen in the history of sports.
Well, and especially this team right now. I don't think they're cocky at all. I don't think they're playing great. In fact, I sort of half worry that their confidence isn't high enough. Like, you know, if you're not playing great and you have doubts about the operation, and I'm not saying that's what they are. I'm just saying that's what it's looked like. But if you have any doubt about you're not playing well and you get off to a bad start, it's more likely to snowball. So, I told you, I don't feel great about the way they're playing here down the street. My interest tomorrow night's in the quarterback, because I think it's going to take a lot for them to lose the game. But I don't think they've played great in a while. So, you know, I would take Tennessee in the points tomorrow night. Plus, the idea that there could be freezing rain or sleet down there or whatever worries me about the ability to get any sort of footing on the field.
Tom Brady in his last five games, quarterback rating of 81.6, that ranks 17th in the league. His yards per pass attempt is 6.95, which ranks 15th in the league. In the last five games, his TD to interception ratio is 6-5 after it being 26-3 in the first 11 games. So, to me, I don't go Tom Brady there, I go passing game, because I think it's as much to do with his receivers, who have either been hurt or don't fit the offense, Brandon Cooks, or his offensive line, or things of that nature. I think that's not all on Brady, but the fact is the passing game has not been great for over a month. I expect it to be great tomorrow night, but let's see.
I would think it would be better considering that he's getting James White and Chris Hogan back.
He's probably, 14 days off, should be healthier, should be fresh, and all of those things. They're home and rested, and so I expect them to score a lot of points tomorrow night. But it hasn't been good for the last month. I mean, that's just the fact.
White's a big one. He's a key guy.
Sean in the car. What do you got, Sean?
Yeah, I just want to call because I'm a big Patriots fan, but it's all these conspiracy theories, all these Patriots fans about Jimmy Garoppolo comeback. It's driving me nuts. And what a lot of people don't think is, even though the Flaygate was last year, everyone knows something happened with the balls and the Patriots. And what happened in result of that? Jimmy Garoppolo got those first couple games to show, you know, on a national stage what he was capable of. So all these people that are upset that Jimmy left and all of this, he got that attention because of the Patriots, because if the Flaygate never happened, when would Jimmy play? In a couple meaningless preseason games? He wouldn't be on nearly as many teams' radars if the Flaygate never even occurred.
Okay, so what's your point?
That the Patriots ultimately cost themselves Jimmy Garoppolo through the Flaygate.
Sure. I mean, I think you'd make that case.
That by getting busted and getting Brady suspended and dumping it on Brady, they forced Garoppolo under the spotlight and everybody saw it.
It's just too indirect for me to draw that line.
Well, yeah. I mean,
they deserve credit for drafting a good player and then needing him and then him coming through. Like that, I consider that a good thing, not a bad thing.
I just feel like the whole Deflategate link, period. You know, even in terms of alienating Brady, like...
Oh, I think, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think that's the importance of Deflategate.
And so they did alienate Brady, but I still look at the whole thing as they drafted Garoppolo and Bill thought he had something. I mean, to me, that was the ultimate source of the wedge between, if there is one, and I believe there is at least a small one or a medium one, between Brady and Belichick.
Kevin in Mansfield, what do you got, Kevin?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Felger, I remember a while back you were talking about how after that Super Bowl, the Falcons had no chance of coming back and getting back to the Super Bowl. I was wondering, I know there's a few things that have to swing either way, but if it does end up being Patriots and Falcons, do you see any way that the Falcons could possibly win?
No, but they've proven me wrong, Kevin. I didn't think they'd get this far. I did not think that they would be winning playoff games on the road. I didn't think they'd make the playoffs. I thought that was 7-9, 6-10 written all over it.
It was looking that way, and they've played better.
So I asked this question earlier in the week. I'll still put it on the table. Did the Super Bowl loss to the Patriots, is it helping them right now or hurting them? And I think it's helping them. But that's not to say that they can, again, hold their water for 60 minutes against you. you know, they're in the spot where they have to do that run the table on the road thing, go win three straight road playoff games. Any team that does that and gets to the Super Bowl, I sort of respect their ability to win it because that's such a, you know, hard road, and I think that battle tested that those teams once they get there.
Oh, they're scary.
I think they are scary teams, right? They have a good track
historically
record.
Those teams have done well in the Super Bowl, right?
So once you get there, so if Atlanta does it, goes three straight in the playoffs on the road, yeah, they're dangerous to you. No doubt about it. They have the talent.
Well, and I feel like this one is the hard one, too, because the next two will be indoors, right? I mean, this is the only one,
They're going up against Nick Foles. They're a three-point favorite for a reason.
I know, but I don't know. Look, I'm no Nick Foles fan, believe me. I just think it's on the road, playoffs, like Atlanta. There's still some softness there.
Bob in Gloucester, hi.
Yeah, Atlanta's coach is brain dead, though. Don't forget that.
Yes,
after
I agree.
Last year.
I agree.
Now, Jim Murray, who should have won the Seattle Pats Super Bowl?
Oh, Seattle, but...
Of course. Now, Maz, who should have won last year's Super Bowl?
Atlanta.
Now, how's the greatest quarterback in the world, the greatest quarterback in the world? That wouldn't that have been four Super Bowl losses in a row?
No, Seattle would have been on the defense. Go look at the numbers that Brady put up in that fourth quarter against what's one of the best defenses of the last 10, 15 years.
So, Bob, you want us to pretend they never happened?
Well, no, that's four Super Bowl losses in a row if those two coaches weren't brain dead.
Yeah, but he won them both.
Right, he was standing on the sidelines.
If the two Giants games go different, he has seven wins in a row.
Well, that's because Eli's the greatest.
Yeah. So let me tell you, Bob, Patriots fans like to play this game all the time, right? Like if David Tyree doesn't have that catch, we have six Super Bowls. And if Mario Manningham or Wes Welker hangs onto that ball, we have seven Super Bowls. To which I say, okay, if you're going to give yourself two that you lost, then I get to take away two that you won by saying if Pete Carroll just runs the ball, now you're back down to six. And if Dan Quinn doesn't absolutely melt down, then you're down to five. And oh, by the way, if... The Walt Coleman, that snowy night in Foxborough, has a different interpretation of the rule. You're now down to four. So we can play this game all day long. You should have won. You should have lost. At the end of the day, you get what you deserve. They are 5-2 in Super Bowls because they should be 5-2 in Super Bowls. That's exactly what they should be.
See, to me, I think that's a pretty fair representation of what they've been. Like, you know, again, take all the specific plays out of it. They've been the most dominating team in the league. And do you remember when they won the fourth one? I thought... Oh, thank God. Like, they didn't deserve to be three. Belichick and Brady did not deserve to be 3-3 in the Super Bowl. Win as many as you lose. Way too good an era for that. Way too good. The fact that they get to 5-2, excellent. Even better. But the 3-3 one, the Seattle one that would have made them 3-3, ultimately, look, Seattle played into it. But ultimately, I think long-term justice was done.
Wayne and Grafton, go.
First of all, tomorrow night, I hope Tuca has his depends on. He's going to need it in Montreal.
Attaboy.
Now, as far as Brady goes, great guy, great football player. I mean, that I wouldn't watch that video even if I knew how to find it. But, that'd be like me sending you a video of a day in the life of Wayne and Grafton. How would you guys like to watch that? You'd be having nightmares for the rest of your life.
Wayne, you have a warrior spirit. Don't sell yourself short.
I have the warrior spirit. I can't tell you how I get that, but that's a story. But, you know, but that whole thing, you guys talked earlier this week about that, drinking the beers and all that stuff with your weight. Hey, I'm 71 years old. I walk four or five dogs a day. I drink six or seven beers a day. I don't have any kind of a special diet, and I'm doing fine. But the thing with me and Brady, at least I'm not kiddy-whipped. Peace out.
Peace out. Wayne, have a good weekend.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your work day with Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
Murray thinks they're going down. Murray has the field.
I do.
Patriots v. Field. Who do you got, Maz?
Ooh. I get the Patriots in the Super Bowl but losing. Patriots in the Super Bowl but losing. I just don't know who's going to beat them. I mean, Minnesota, maybe New Orleans, maybe those two are the only thing I have. Only two teams I think that have a shot.
Okay. I got them going all the way, but again, there's real holes and real concerns and not a great Patriots team by their standards, by their ridiculous standards. Not one of their all-time teams, so... plenty to see, although I'm not sure it's coming this week. Our buddy Dan is in Quincy. Hi, Danny.
You know, when you you had Gasper on. I wanted to get on so bad when he started saying, "Oh, what about Garoppolo's 5 picks? Oh, if that were Brady, everybody would be." Hey, first of all, Chris, nobody's comparing the Garoppolo man to Tom Brady. Okay, number one, we're judging Tom Brady by his own standards. And by the way, he has 8 picks on the season. 6 have come in the last 6 games. That's not a good trend. And as far as the caller who called earlier about the pass defense, listen, you have to understand, the other team coming down the field either got a penalty to take them out of touchdown range, and they either kicked the field goal because of it, or they gave the ball away, or they had the coach making stupid calls. As long as the other team keeps doing that, they may go to the Super Bowl and win it. But you have to put it all in perspective. I can't believe you didn't tell a guy that.
Okay, well, I mean, there's special circumstances in every game, and everyone always craps their pants. But, Danny, that's the NFL.
But that's the reason why they have so many yards given up and not a lot of points.
Okay, so this is all a long way of saying you have deep concerns about the Patriots.
I've been telling you about the pass team. They have no pass rush, and they can't, and they give up chunk plays. And the other team controls the friggin' ball, especially on those first drives when they win the toss and defer. The other team comes down the field. And if they implode, the other team, that is, implode and give the ball away. By the way, the Patriots defense haven't been taking the ball away. The other team gives it away. As long as that keeps happening, then they'll win the whole thing.
I think that keeps happening.
And it might happen this week. Hell, Mariota threw a ton of picks this year.
Happens week after week after week.
See, I think it's a combination thing, because I do think that you get them in the red zone and there's less space, that the Patriots are generally good at staying in the right place, and it minimizes the gaps down there, and it takes a good offensive team to exploit them, and they haven't played one. So, but part of the credit goes to them, because they're in the proper places.
And
which
I just
is Belichick.
I think there's an inherent pressure in playing the Patriots that you feel you have to be perfect, and so you put more pressure on yourself, and that leads to mistakes. It is staggering how many teams just can't hold their water against you for 60 minutes. They're right there, it's within their grasp, and they can't hold it together long enough to go 60 minutes against you. And until someone does it, I don't have much faith that anyone will. Rocco and Saugus. Go ahead, Rocco.
Hey, listen, just quick on, I got 2 points, but just quick on what's called Collins from the Giants. I think his source was probably Shane Vereen. And didn't Vereen's brother play for the Patriots, or didn't he retire and he unsigned or something like that?
Shane played for the Patriots.
Yeah, I know, but his brother got signed too, and then he retired. Yeah, I remember that. And then he retired from the Patriots, and then he got signed by somebody else. But the reason why I call is because of the documentary, right? You're bashing Brady about the documentary, but didn't Bill do a documentary in 2009, The Football Life? And that was like his worst year of coaching, opinion. Well, but it came out in 2010.
It came out in 10, right? I mean, if you want to say Belichick has not been shy. If you want to say he hasn't been shy about the Belichick documentary pumping himself up, you're accurate. It's just, I don't remember one dropping the week of a playoff game.
I mean, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. If I was Brady, listen, I'm an MVP candidate. I should do it right now when, you know, my stock is high. That's why. I mean, honestly, that's why I think he dropped it right now, before the Super Bowl, before the playoffs.
Do you believe in karma, Rocco?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I do. I just think, I don't know how many times you can say you've beaten Father Time before Father Time says, all right, enough.
The Belichick documentary also isn't the same thing. It was about football.
Eh.
Okay, but it was about his football career.
Yeah.
What, you think it was about promoting his business?
No, not his business, him.
Okay, but again, Brady
all
the
NFL, all of those thing. Football lives are about promoting the players to help promote the shield. The Brady thing, that's about selling his expensive nuts.
I'm with Murray on this. I think it's totally different. One is, you know, promoting sort of the league and the game, and even if it is about an individual. The other one is my nuts.
Yeah, but NFL films let Bill go back and do a whole half hour rewriting the history of what happened to him in Cleveland.
Okay, but at least it was a football story.
Like, that thing was embarrassing.
But at least it was a football story, about kale pajamas, peanut butter socks, and nuts.
Okay, right. I mean, that makes it different. All I'm saying is, Bill hasn't been shy about promoting himself on those documentaries either. It's through NFL films, but some of those have been...
Yeah, a lot of them.
Give me a break.
The Bruce Arians one, where he tries to make himself as, like, Mr. Cool Guy coach for 60 minutes. Like, ugh, all right.
I mean, this is Brady talking about how much of a warrior he is. Like, I don't, you know, to me, they're different. They are very different.
Our buddy Matthew's in Framingham. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how you doing? I'd love to talk Pats, but with the mastermind Malarkey and Mini Mariota coming in and the Pats with a chip on their shoulder, it's not even worth talking about. So I want to talk about who they're going to play next week. the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game. I got Jacksonville winning because, you know, Roethlisberger, he's a tough guy, but, he's been injured so much, he's put together like Mr. Potato Head, you know? And I just think they're going to sack him. And guess what? The secondary, they're not scared of him either. How many picks did they get when they played him this year?
Five.
Yeah, Antonio Brown on one leg. I'm telling you, and it's a 7.5-point spread given Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville is going to wipe the floor with them, and I'm looking forward to that matchup with Jacksonville next week.
Okay, Matthew, thanks for the call. I think Pittsburgh's going to blow doors, but let me tell you this. Aren't they just the kind of team to lose focus and gag on a game that they shouldn't, that they shouldn't gag on?
Who's the safety that said this week they're already looking forward to the championship game rematch with the Patriots? They're already looking ahead. They already did this earlier this season and it bit them in the ass. They have no focus. And as much as I'm with Chris a little bit, like, okay, they would have Joe Hayden back, Antonio Brown's healthy, it would be a tougher rematch. They'd still find a way to crap their pants. They're the Steelers.
Can you hold it together for 60 minutes?
No, they can't. Not against the Pats.
But, I mean, just, leave it to Tomlin to go on national TV and talk about the two games against the Patriots and not ignoring the elephant in the room and we're going to embrace it and then lose to Jacksonville before you even get there. Like, what? Like, aren't they just the team to do that?
I just don't think Jacksonville has the offense to beat them.
They didn't. You know how many times Blake Bortles threw in the win that they had there earlier this season?
Oh, wasn't it something like 11?
Eight. Eight times. Blake Bortles threw eight times.
Just again, the reason we play the sound so much is because it could be relevant.
We're all sitting here saying there's going to be a game in December, Pittsburgh and New England, that's going to determine a lot. I know you won't let your players think that, but how do you keep from not focusing on that?
Man, I'm going to embrace the elephant in the room. It's going to be fireworks, but it's probably going to be part one. Man, that's going to be a big game. But probably if we're both doing what we're supposed to do, the second one is really going to be a big, and what happens in the first is going to set up.
There you go.
The second one is going to determine the location of the second one.
Again, what's so funny, Murray?
I just don't understand. What is so funny there? Mike Mitchell, he was popping off this week, too, talking about the rematch. You know that's going to happen. Have you been focusing on Leonard Fournette and how to stop him? What? No, we haven't.
Tell you what, it'd be a fun game, though. Pittsburgh back in here after losing.
Oh, it'd be great.
Oh, it'd be a fun game.
Be a good game.
I mean, you got to be rooting for that. You got to be.
Another week of Beetle and Zoe impersonations of Mike Tomlin. That'd be
God,
into that.
You can't have enough of that.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Here's Ann in Somerset first on Brady's Motivation. What is it, Annie?
Hey, I was trying to call him the other day. You guys were ripping him apart. I do want to point out, no matter what is due on his plate, his number one reason for playing is winning, and that's mutually beneficial. His success is our success. And the guy's taking a hometown discount. He's restructuring his contract. Why do you think the aggressive of the guy setting up his next endeavor? He's surpassed early expectations. He's never taken a game off, a playoff, a minute off. I just don't think what the big deal is. It's not anything that any other player hasn't done.
So, and everything's a big deal to us. But so if, football and winning's number one, and I would agree, I think his business is number two, and I think number two has never been as close to number one as it is right now. That's my only point.
Big deal.
Okay, fair enough. Big deal to you. Did you guys want to wait? What
I just thought that was funny because I couldn't understand anything that she said. She made the call with her coat in front of her phone. Hold on.
I'll make the...
I just don't understand why you guys are going to take talking about Tom Brady like that, because he just worked so hard. You understand? Every time that I call it, every time you guys are talking about it, I just don't understand it. The guy who hurt, he's the goat. You understand? Can you hear me?
Remove the coat before you make the phone call, miss.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Ian, your phone sucks.
Steve in Rhode Island. Hi, Steve. Steven?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the air, Steve.
All right, hi. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome.
The show is great. I love it.
Thank you.
A question for the boys.
Uh-huh.
Did you think that it's possible that Alex Guerrero might have been the one leaking some of this information because he was ticked off about, the things that are going on with him and the organization? And thanks for taking my call. I'll hang up and listen to the answer. Have a good afternoon.
Okay, babe. Thanks for the very cordial caller there.
Yeah, very polite, man.
Do you mind feel about the sourcing on that story? I think a big bulk of it was Belichick or Belichick's camp. But you know what I really think? I think everyone was a source. I think everyone. From Brady's camp to Bill's camp to Kraft's camp and maybe the principals themselves. And they all got a word in with Seth, and that's why they all sound like total weasels right now, denying everything, when I think they all, in their own manner, helped that story along. Because Seth knows all of them, he's got connections with all of them, so whether it's the principal himself, meaning Brady, Belichick, Kraft, or their emissaries, or their camp, he got to everybody. And everybody got their say, because everyone took a hit. Brady took the worst, but everyone took a hit. And I think it all came from different places, and I think they all contributed. And then when the bleep hit the fan, they all publicly denied it without being specific and just tried to weasel the way out of it.
Yeah, I think Belichick, though, should have gotten a cold byline. That's what I think. Bill Belichick contributed to this report.
I think it was largely him. We've got John in Connecticut on the Cavs, which we've talked about earlier today. Go ahead, John.
Hi, I want your guys' opinion. Why aren't the Cavs on the phone right now with the Clippers offering Tristan Thompson and their first-round pick for DeAndre Jordan?
Okay, so Jay Stu has been big on this one. That's already, you know, taken place. The Brooklyn pick, Tristan Thompson, Isaiah for DeAndre Jordan, and the Clippers turned it down. So wow.
They're shopping Isaiah Thomas heavily.
It's too much to give up. You can't give up that Brooklyn pick for 1 year of DeAndre Jordan. You can't do it.
I know the Brooklyn pick's
a half a year, and there's no LeBron going forward potentially.
Exactly, that's the whole point. And one of the reasons that Dan Gilbert would only do that if LeBron said I'll stay. So he doesn't have that yet, so that's another impediment to the deal. But that's one of the things they're talking about. Something's going to happen in Cleveland. A coach is going to get fired.
Something has to.
Yeah, I think
I think the coach is toast. You can't give up 130 points, three games. Again, the parts I saw last night, just watch the highlights. Watch the interior defense. Nobody moves. They just stand there. They don't do anything. They're not trying. You can't give up 130 points unless you're not trying.
And again, this was to a Toronto team that was undermanned. They didn't have Kyle Lowry. They didn't have Serge Ibaka. And DeMar DeRozan only had 13 points. They had no business getting blown off the floor the way that they did. It was over by the end of the third quarter.
Steve and JP. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Great show. I love you guys. Quick comment. I just want to put a little bit of context on all the kind of the critiques of Brady in recent weeks. Number one, I mean, this is a man who started out here as a 22-year-old and is pretty much, and I guess we could call him a 40-year-old now. And I think that's a real big length of time. Number two, I can't help but comically think back to Peyton Manning, who I have a great respect for and was a great competitor and great quarterback, who over the years, I think, showed for every product ever known to man. I think one day it was Sony TV, Nationwide Insurance. I mean, he was on television 24/7 selling something. You got Brett Favre selling copper and knee pads.
So, what's your point?
Razor blades. Well, my point is that, relatively speaking, over 18 years, although I agree with the fact that the timing about this particular documentary is a bit distracting, that this guy's been a really class act, in my opinion.
Well, there's no question about it. I'm just going to cut you off quickly. He has been a class act. There's no question about it. And I think Gasper made this point before. It's sort of a good one, that if Brady was more of an endorsement machine earlier in his career, it wouldn't look so striking now. You know, what makes this, again, so noticeable and so striking is the fact that just 5 years ago, he did nothing, relatively speaking. You know, he's changed, and it's come on really late in life, and it's just been a real transformation that if he did more endorsements early on, maybe we wouldn't notice it as much. I think that's fair.
To me, this isn't about the endorsements. You want to sell me shoes, pizza, beer, whatever, fine. No problem. Like, everybody does that. You know, he's selling himself. Again, what bugs me about that video is that line. There is a warrior spirit about me. Come on, would you please stop it with that bull crap? Oh. You take off your clothes and start rubbing yourself, for crying out loud. There's a warrior spirit about me. I told you, it's a LeBron line. What jackass does that, goes out there and talks about himself like he's a warrior? You just sound like a tool. You do. You sound like a complete tool doing that. That's the part that irritates me. You want to talk about how great someone else's pizza is? Have a blast. I get it. They're paying you. Put your name on a restaurant. Who cares? Fine, but there's a warrior spirit. There's a warrior spirit about me. put a sock in it. Shut your pie hole already. Good God.
Favorite sound of the week. You ready for a mess?
Oh, I'm ready.
Got three cuts for you.
Okay.
A couple of these we've played, one we haven't. Here's, where's Carlton and Norwell been, by the way? Where's this guy been?
You're on the air, Mike.
What?
He's boycotting you.
Yeah, when you're on the
air.
Oh, no,
I'm sorry. So he's boycotting me.
Oh,
he's
boycotting you. I've called. I just won't call when you're here.
Did I say that he was boycotting us already?
Yeah,
maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah. So Jimmy's picking up a conversation from 2 days ago. He hasn't called when I've been on the show here for a while because he doesn't like my commentary about the Austin Seferian Jenkins touchdown with the Jets in week
6.
Yeah, well, whenever that was. So he's on a Felger boycott. He's not calling the show, right?
Correct.
That's right.
But he's called you guys.
Yes, I called during the break when you were away. Because you don't practice truth in broadcasting. It's not right. It should be an FCC violation, Michael.
So this whack job, who we love dearly, hasn't called in a while. Us, me. But he does call Stephen A. Smith's show, which I don't even know. He's not on satellite anymore. Is he back on ESPN Radio? Where does Stephen A. broadcast?
Well, it's a national broadcast. They can find it just about anywhere.
So Stephen A. Smith loves himself some Carlton and Norwell to the point where he's on the TV show on the First Take show. And we got to hear this week.
I think that the Patriots are the standard, much to the chagrin of this guy Carlton from Tampa that calls to my radio show every day. He used to be from Massachusetts, Max. He retired and goes
Carlton.
To Tampa.
He retired?
I know no Bill Belichick hater more so than him. He is unreal. If Bill Belichick passed gas, Carlton would know about it and complain about it for the public. He's unreal, but he's a great, great caller. He's very knowledgeable. He's a good guy, too.
Getting a national shout-out as a good guy on ESPN.
You see, that's called respect. Respect. And leave Max Kellerman alone, you Patriots bobos and sock puppets. Did you hear this? Max Kellerman was getting it from Patriots bobos all week on social media. Hate from Patriots idiot fans. He called them the worst in sports. And they were right. You're right. He's right.
Okay, so that's Carlton. Maybe I don't miss him. Then there was this. Paul Maurice. That's his name, right, Jimmy? Paul Maurice? The coach of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently the San Jose Sharks and some Sharks players, I never went back to look at the original story, but apparently some Sharks players were complaining about Winnipeg. Not the team, or the city of Winnipeg. They say it's too dark and it's too cold.
True.
And that Winnipeg is the worst city to go to in the NHL because it's dark and it's cold. And so Paul Maurice was asked about this. Listen to his response. It's really good.
On the exact, I heard it's cold and dark. Well, that happens in Canada occasionally, pretty regularly, every winter. It's dark at night. Yeah, that happens pretty much around the world. Yeah. I don't think any coach, any player, trainer, referee should ever complain about a day in the National Hockey League. You know, we got a sold-out building. Pretty sure that all goes into hockey-related revenues and everybody cashes their check. The thread count at your hotel isn't right, or your Frappuccino isn't froth right. I don't even know what a Frappuccino is. But my point being, we got nothing to complain about. Pretty good life every day. Every city is pretty darn good.
That's the most Canadian answer I've ever heard in my entire life. It's kind. It makes sense. Oh, that was amazing. I hadn't heard that. I purposely didn't listen to that because you said, like, wait to hear this. That's as Canadian as it gets.
All because your thread count isn't right or not enough froth in your Frappuccino.
Yeah, the thread count at your hotel isn't right or your Frappuccino isn't froth right.
I'll tell you what. That guy's got great pipes.
I don't even know what a Frappuccino is, but my point being...
And he's got a little comedic timing there, too, as well.
Oh, he's got great pipes. We got to get him to do promos.
Great cut. That was a great cut.
You know, my point being is just go to Tim Hortons, get yourself a stick, and, you know, thank your lucky stars.
Yeah, the thread count at your hotel isn't right, or your Frappuccino isn't froth right. I don't even know what a Frappuccino is, but my point being...
I like the very start of it, too, Jimmy.
On the exact, I heard it's cold and dark. Well, that happens in Canada.
All right. So, but I think those are, I'm doing this in descending order. Carlton was 3. That's 2.
Oh, yeah. Those are appetizers.
This right here is the main course.
If I were.
Hold on. No one has any idea what it is, Jimmy.
This 5:50. Let's go.
This is Carmen Policy. You have to be here till 6.
Yeah, and I want to get everything in before 6.
Carmen Policy used to be the GM slash president there with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep.
Back in the glory days. Okay, so he's on San Francisco Sports Radio, and they bring him on as a guest to talk about the current Niners and the situation with Jimmy Garoppolo. And they ask him, if you were the current GM or the current president, and you were negotiating Jimmy Garoppolo's new deal, how would you handle the agent, and how would you handle those negotiations?
If I were representing the team, I think what I would do is enter the room, and I would bring a large jar of Vaseline. And I would say to the agent on the other side, I'm a nice guy. I really want to do the right thing. Please be gentle with me.
Tell you what, that tactic would have worked well with that Jason Wood, that MLB agent that just got fired.
Oh, God, would you stop with that? Would you stop? Stop. Not going to pile on. The comment speaks for itself. An all-timer.
Oh, great one. I mean, if you want to take it a step further, you should show up without any underwear.
All right, go easy so we have the final word.
Go smokeless.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do. Like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Two pieces of sound, final word today. We have a Mad Mike, Squeaky Maz combo.
Love it.
Courtesy of Hardy. So.
What is it, Maz? You know what it is?
Yeah, I have a guess.
Give me a hint.
Talking about trading Bill Belichick.
That's not a hint. That's the actual. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Bill's not coaching forever. He's not. Well, what does he have, 3? 5?
If a Garoppolo were here, how many years do you think he could have given you?
3.
Oh, I say more. He'd have gotten 5 more with Garoppolo.
All I'm just saying is, you just blew it on the quarterback. You've had chances to reset this thing and reset it right. Tremendous opportunity to reset your franchise and not get caught in this Neverland, this purgatory that we see other teams get caught in when they lose their franchise quarterback or their franchise coach because they hang on too long.
But Mike, they just had the opportunity to reset their franchise with Jimmy Garoppolo and Bill Belichick.
I know. Why do you keep going back to that? We know that.
Because why are we even discussing it if they just had the chance?
Because I think it's a fun topic.
Okay, I think it's useless.
And we'll go to the headlines with Murray.
Was that Tony's That's Not What I Do moment?
No, talk about it until you are blue in the face.
Excellent, yes, of course.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.